If you felt stuck trying to lose weight, you're not alone. Enter Weight Loss by Hers. It's designed to support you in reaching your goals. And Hers now offers access to an affordable range of FDA-approved GLP-1 medications, including the Wegovy pill and the Wegovy pen. With Wegovy at Hers, lose up to 20% or more of your body weight when combined with diet and exercise. It helps you regulate your appetite, eat less, and keep weight off. Plus, Wegovy is the first GLP-1 available in a pill, so there are no needles needed. Everything is 100% online through Hers. You'll connect with a licensed provider who will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your medication is delivered right to your door, no insurance necessary. And it doesn't stop there. Weight Loss by Hers goes beyond medication by offering access to 24/7 messaging with your care team and tons of in-app lifestyle and nutrition tips like recipes, meal plans, fitness videos, sleep content, and more. Even better, with a range of affordable GLP-1 options, Hers makes it simple to find an approach that fits your needs and your budget, if eligible. You'll get a treatment plan personalized to you and unlimited dosage changes as needed. It's weight loss designed to work with your life. Ready to reach your goals? Visit forhers.com/women to get personalized, affordable care that gets you. That's forhers.com/women. forhers.com/women. Weight loss by Hers is not available in all 50 states. Wegovy is the registered trademark of Novo Nordisk AS. To get started and learn more, including important safety information, Wegovy clinical study information, and restrictions, visit forhers.com.
Welcome to Detroit. I titled this episode of TFL Car Chat, Best and Worst of Detroit Auto Show. And with me is my friend, and also an expert in everything automotive, is Craig Cole from Auto Esoterica.
That's true, Auto Esoterica on YouTube. Yes.
Did I say that correctly?
You said that perfectly.
Nice.
And when we're here, you said best and worst. I think best, probably worst.
No.
I'm serious.
No.
This man knows so much about trucks and other things.
Yes, but this is a car show.
Yes.
Primarily. So I follow every aspect of automotive, but I'm not as deep into the world of cars. But what I can get excited by is being here in Detroit. This is your home state.
Yes, it is.
You live nearby, right?
Roughly.
A stone throws away, I would say, from the convention center. And we're here, we want to show you everything that's at the show, mm-hmm. but we're starting here at the Corvette, at the Chevy Corvette stage. It has its own stage, actually.
I mean, it's an iconic nameplate. It deserves a stage. Its own booth, maybe.
I think so. Because Chevy broke some news recently with the ZR1X, because they put it at the drag strip.
Yes.
And we're standing next to an example of this car. I don't know if this is the exact car. It looks similar.
I mean,
anyways.
Probably isn't, but maybe it is.
Anyways, they did some insane, mind-boggling 0 to 60 in quarter mile times.
Yes, they did. I jotted them down because it's a lot of numbers, but 1.68 seconds, 0 to 60.
Wait a
minute. Have you ever scrambled your organs? Because that's what this car is going to do.
I think so.
Yeah.
And that's, I didn't think it was possible for a production car because there's certain physics involved. Tire technology, grip levels.
Yeah.
This car is all-wheel drive.
Mm-hmm.
It does have, what, 1,250 horsepower?
Yes, which is, it's a twin-turbo, what is it, LT7 V8 at the back here?
It's a really insane engine. You could kind of see it through there. There's carbon fiber bits on this car.
Oh, everywhere.
It's got carbon fiber wheels. It's got carbon fiber bits. And also, we can show you the interior of this car.
Mm-hmm.
And then quarter mile was 8.76. Am I reading that right?
8.675, I think, was the number.
Okay,
Less than nine seconds in the quarter mile at 159 miles per hour. For a production car, you can drive on the street.
Exactly. And
mind blown.
So, did you watch the first Fast and Furious movie?
Many years ago.
It was many moons ago.
Yes.
But like I remember when Vin Diesel would say, bring me a 10-second car.
Uh-huh.
I'm sorry, that was a bad impression.
I'll allow it, it's fine.
But Now we're into 8-second cars from the factory.
No work required.
No work required. No need to go to Vin Diesel's shop to soup it up a little bit.
Well, the only work is earning enough money to write the monthly check for the payment, which I'm sure it ain't going to be cheap.
But this is cool. This is the quickest production car, currently speaking, this day, today. Because like a Tesla Model S Plaid or any other Plaid for that matter can't match this performance. Neither can even the Lucid Air Sapphire, right?
Yeah. I think that's 1,234 horsepower.
Only.
Only. Right.
Yes.
But like 0 to 60, one point, was it
9?
Yeah. I mean, we're going to the hundredths place. At that point, it doesn't matter. It's fast.
Yeah.
Less than 2 seconds.
Yeah.
Which is just insane.
And it's,
but this is quicker.
Well, I don't know if this is the beginning of our episode here at TFL Car Chat. So I don't want to call it a day and say this is the best and walk away, but this must be a highlight of the show, right?
Absolutely. I mean, we're going to have a hard time topping this today.
But we can.
We can try this concept.
How about this concept?
The CX concept?
This is a CX. This is actually the first time I'm up close and personal with this concept because I know it was shown in Los Angeles, right?
Yeah.
A few months earlier. But this is striking too. And you can kind of see an image on the wall with the shell opening up, right?
Yeah, that's not a very efficient door opening, but it's a concept, so I'm not gonna.
Well, do you think that would work? It's snowing outside right now. Do you think that would work in the Detroit snow?
No. You park it outside, it gets crusted in ice. You gotta lift the whole roof up? No, it's not gonna work. But it's a concept car. We see concepts with all kinds of crazy stuff that are never gonna make it into production. So designers like to have a little bit of fun. And I think having the whole top of the car open, that's kind of fun.
But we're talking about C8 Corvette, which is the 8th generation of Corvette,
yes.
Right? And this is a Z06, another example. By the way, Roman recently purchased one of these.
Did he?
Did you see that?
I did not. I know he had the ZR1. What is it, like an 88, 89?
Early 90s, like a 1990.
It was red.
Yes.
They drove it from like, was it Utah or something? I watched the video. I don't remember. I'm a little murky on the details.
It's okay.
But that was a sweet car, although the oil line burst.
You know, and I want to ask you about this because of Auto Esoterica.
Yes,
you explore different aspects and history of vehicles.
Yeah, we like older stuff.
And so what happened with this ZR1, this was a 4th gen, what happened was it was a low miles car that sat around a lot.
Yeah.
And here it is. It's like a horse that's been in the stable for many, many months, and then you ask it to run a marathon the next day.
Yep.
And the oil lines went on this engine.
Yeah,
so.
Luckily, the line blew off. They were
in a parking lot
or very close to a parking
yes.
lot. Everything gushed out.
Yes.
But they were able to find a guy, like a passerby that was a mechanic, right? He was able to help them patch it up.
Yes.
Fill the crankcase with oil.
And they kept driving.
Fired it up. There was a little of a bit of a tapping I heard in the mic right as he started it. But that went away immediately. So I think they got so lucky. But then they had Chase bring the trailer.
Exactly, and then he helped them out.
I think they could have made it back to Boulder, back to the Denver area.
If they had cojones, I think they might have. No.
Are you suggesting your boss is not capable?
No, I'm not saying that at all.
Okay.
And you might be wondering, where's Roman, where's Nathan, where's Tommy, where is anybody else? I mean,
you're stuck with me. I'm sorry.
Well, because they're not here.
I know.
Ford is also having some news at this show, so let's keep walking.
All right.
What's
next on you? What has caught your eye? Ford is next door.
Oh, wait. We cannot leave the Chevy area yet, because I really want to check out the new Bolt.
Let's
move along.
But, Andre, is it new or is it new?
Are you using air quotes?
Yes, I'm using air quotes.
Okay.
Whoa.
Oh, I almost fell.
I'm gonna help the camera.
It's okay. Everything is.
I don't want our camera guy Ian to fall.
No, everything is fine. And also Chevrolet people, you know, nobody's worrying. So you're referring to a Bolt that existed before.
Yes.
Basically coming back without a lot of visual changes.
Correct. You know, it's the same platform. Right?
Yeah. So it has some visual changes, but you know what? I want to ask you about this because.
Yes, sir.
This year, 2026, I was getting a little bit excited about this year because more affordable electric cars are finally coming.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying?
Correct.
So let's take a look at this 2027 Bolt RS.
When I say carryover platform, I don't mean that necessarily in a bad way. They've updated so much technology on this vehicle, but using the core components that don't really have to change, right? The vehicle was very safe before. You don't have to completely re-engineer the architecture.
And the body itself, the unibody, right?
Correct.
The construction of it.
And the interior was spacious and reasonably comfortable.
Yes.
Which we can show here. So there, when I say you carry over components, it's not a bad thing.
I knew what you meant.
Yeah.
But thank you for explaining it, because not everybody listening and watching may understand that as well. Because they updated. It has pretty good range. It has better charging than before.
Yes.
150 kilowatt possible charging.
Which is right in the range you want it. That's not by no means the fastest DC charging speed,
yes,
but that's a very good performance, especially for the price, because this thing's going to start supposedly at less than 30 grand.
Yeah.
With delivery, which is,
yes,
another like 1,200 bucks or so.
Yes, I believe. And you know what? GM and Chevrolet is one of the only companies, when they show a price on their website, mm-hmm, it includes delivery charges, mm-hmm, which a lot of other, or most other manufacturers, yeah, don't do.
And they also hide it.
And also they hike up those prices, right, recently. But GM is not one of those companies. And this is under 30K starting. I believe it's about 29, actually.
Yes. And
yes,
then they said the release I just looked at before we came out on the show floor, they said there will be another model that's going to start around 29. So $1,000
less.
That's
maybe what I was thinking.
Yeah, yeah.
That's maybe because this is an RS,
yeah,
which is
a little
bit more spicy.
A little spicy. That's a very good word.
It's also spicy color, right?
Oh, this is like a what would you call this? A crimson?
Oh, my
habanero,
gosh. Habanero orange.
Habanero orange.
See, we were right on the money with this thing. But, you know, 262-ish miles of range possible and under 30K. And this is what I wanted to ask you about, because so far, up to now, for the most part, electric cars in general and trucks have been way more expensive there,
yes,
than their combustion counterparts.
Absolutely.
I looked up a price of a Corolla hatch. We might see it over here, because
okay,
Toyota is here too.
You want to swing by and see if they've,
yeah,
got one?
Yeah, sure.
For illustration purposes?
I saw that at about $26,000,
okay,
starting. So we're getting within 10% electric,
yes,
car versus non-electric car, so to speak, roughly speaking.
Yeah.
And I think that's important.
That's critical, and that's with no tax incentives, right? So it's competing on a level playing field at that point.
Like oranges and oranges.
Correct.
Right?
Not apples and oranges. or bananas and oranges, or pick another fruit.
Yes.
But yeah, like within $3,000, somebody that would shop for a Corolla,
yeah,
and was considering maybe going electric, the Bolt would be a great option.
And also Toyota will also have an electric car, compact electric car available also soon.
Mm-hmm.
So, well, for example, we found a hatch.
There
Look
you
at
go.
This. Beautiful, beautiful hatch.
The Corolla.
Yes.
Look at that.
This is the...
That is a spicy red color as well.
That must be a trend.
Let's see what it's called, if they've listed it here. Corolla Hatchback SE. Line red.
Yes, but this one has a few options.
Yeah.
And it's has a destination charge of about 1,200 bucks, 32,000 for this particular one. So actually, remember you mentioned about 30K over there,
mm-hmm,
with some options,
mm-hmm,
and 30K over here with some options.
Yeah.
Even though it's, by
yeah,
the way, this does not include destination.
Of course not. Oh, no.
Shake, shake, shake of the finger. Wag, wag.
Andre does not approve.
No. So.
Stern wag of the finger there.
Yeah.
But yeah, like, that's the pricing game they always play. You've got to pay for the delivery, but they're always trying to sort of hide it and slip it in somewhere you don't see it.
And we're not just picking on Toyota.
Oh, no, definitely not.
Everybody's doing this.
And the price you pay for delivery always goes up. Isn't Ford charging something almost $2,000 now on some trucks?
Or close to it? It's way more than that.
Is it?
Full-size pickup trucks and SUVs like a Tahoe,
yeah,
or an Expedition.
Yeah, yeah.
$2,595.
$2,600?
Yes.
That is insane. I knew they were expensive. I didn't realize they were 2,600 bucks, though.
So I live near Denver, Colorado, which is 1,200 miles away-ish.
Mm-hmm.
You live down the street from the F-150 factory.
Yep.
So in order to move that truck a couple miles to your house, that will be $2,600, my
yep,
friend.
That's how it works.
I don't get it.
They average it out, I guess, across the country,
yes,
so everybody pays the same, but it's
yeah,
also
I don't
get
it.
It's just another way to make another couple grand, right?
I don't get it.
For the automakers.
Yeah,
but I digress. Everybody does it.
Exactly. And also the CHR will be the electric car that Toyota is going to be launching. So I'm really hoping it's coming sooner rather than later. There may be a little bit of slowdown on most manufacturer sides, right? Because electricity is not, I guess, prime on our mind right now.
Yeah.
So that's kind of where it's at.
Yeah. Yeah, that's interesting. The shift, new administration, completely new rules for everything. But
and it does affect. Well, also tariffs, right?
That too. There's a
whole other. I really wish, and I'm not an accountant in an automotive company, because if I was, I think I'd be pulling out all of my hair.
I cannot disagree. Just keeping track of all of that is nearly impossible.
So I wanted to stop by Honda because Honda also has a very big presence here at the show. Mm-hmm. So if you're interested in anything, including the Prelude, which we'll see in just a second. This is a little refresh on the Pilot, and Tommy saw this in Los Angeles, and he did a video specifically on this, and people loved it.
Yeah.
Because it's a minimal change, right? The change is not dramatic.
No.
But this is one good-looking SUV, I think.
I think it's very handsome. Although this, that's getting a bit big. They're following the Ford Super Duty strategy.
Yes.
Of supersizing the badge.
The Ford badge started, and then, you know, this way, and it's growing, just growing.
Eventually it's going to pop.
But you know what? I think there may be a radar hiding behind the badge.
Often they can do that, and I think that's a better solution because sometimes, like on the older Honda, like the Accord, they had a little black box down here. It said, I think, Honda Sensing, and they didn't try to really hide it, but this is a good place to put it.
I think there's another example right there with the... with a passport?
Yes, yes.
So
that might be exactly what I'm referencing.
Yeah, so the badge is up above,
yeah.
But there's a little area for the radar down below. And look, the camera has a little squirter.
That's super nice.
Yes.
Especially if you're actually off-roading.
Exactly.
You get a splash of mud on there.
Because also, we actually had a longer-term loan of a Passport Trail Sport. Basically, this model, except it was in a different color. And I was driving through a bit of a snowstorm. It's been a mild winter, shall we say, in Colorado.
Yeah.
And some ice caked on this from the snow, and I lost my adaptive cruise control system.
But you drive like a sucker again? Do the steering? You're
actual steering?
Yourself?
Yes.
I'd be outraged.
But I was able to squirt it up and clear
and
this area.
Yeah. See?
Yes. So
they thought of everything.
Yes.
But that's just a really good feature to have.
Really. I'm excited. So we're going to see, I think, the Pilot in its refreshed state. We can drive it soon. But I want them to refresh this. I know this is not a truck show, but I think
that's the beauty of this, is that it splits the difference, right?
We're looking at the Ridgeline.
Yes.
A Ridgeline, but it has an older face still. And I want them to make a hybrid Ridgeline with a Pilot face, make it more square, and just macho. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Personally, though, I find nothing wrong with this Honda. It is fantastic. It's efficient. It drives well. It's also locked, so I can't open the door.
Why do they lock things? Because this is not a brand new model.
It is not. It's still fantastic, though.
Yes.
For probably what, like 75% of people actually use their trucks for? Ridgeline.
I wouldn't disagree. Normally, on our truck channel, people would be outraged, and they would be saying, it's not a true body-on-frame construction, it doesn't have solid axles, it doesn't have locking differentials, it doesn't have low-range gearing. But you know what, for a lot of people, it has great payload, about 1,500 pounds, and also, not great towing.
No.
You know what I'm saying?
But for going to the beach, for picking up flat-pack furniture at Costco or IKEA.
Look how wide that is.
Yeah.
It's really nice.
It may not open. There's a little trunk in there.
Yeah.
Weather tight. The tailgate drops down. And if I remember correctly, there should also be, is it on this side?
Yeah.
The tailgate swings. So that's super versatile. That's a lot of clever engineering and honestly cost to make something like this. But it's great to have because now I can step here next to the bumper and reach things that are in the bed without the tailgate being in the way. And if I'm loading something or you want to haul longer cargo, you can drop the tailgate down like you normally would, and you're good to go.
And this has been around, nice. This design they introduced in 2006.
Yeah.
20 years, that's pretty neat.
Has it been that long? I feel old now.
Yeah.
Ready for the grave.
It has been old. All right, dude, so Kia is here.
Yes.
So I wanna walk through Kia because I haven't spent a lot of time next to the new Telluride.
Okay.
And I really wanna see it in person. I think there is one version of it here.
Yeah.
There might be another version of it right down there
as
well.
There must be. There has to be. It's their one of their top-selling models.
Andre.
Hey.
Hello.
Yes, we're kind of on camera. I appreciate it. What's your name?
Big fan. My name's Craig. How are you?
Nice to meet you.
I hope you guys are good.
His name is Craig.
Oh, Craig. Really?
Nice to meet you, Craig. Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you for watching. I appreciate it. That's fun.
What are the chances?
What are the chances that we find another Craig?
It's not a very common. I mean, it's not rare.
Well, it's not, like super Smirnoff,
common.
You know,
no,
or something.
No. You see that every time you go to the grocery store down the liquor aisle, right?
Smirnoff, yes. Dude, what do you think about this? Because I think this has been a little bit controversial because people are attached to the older generation Telluride.
Yeah, fantastic vehicle, too.
Fantastic vehicle. One of my neighbors has one. Like somebody down the street has one. It's been a very popular SUV. What do you think about this update?
So I am mixed because I think they did a lot to improve the usability of the vehicle. It's a little bit longer, I believe, a little wider, more space in the third row.
Yeah.
I believe more cargo room as well. They made the interior super nice. Cabin quality was not an issue with the outgoing Telluride, but this I think is even better, especially in higher end trim levels. However, I think they kind of dropped the ball here.
The front styling end. Department in the front end?
The front end. It's just super squared off. It's very boxy. We've got these sort of chiclets that are made of plastic for the grill insert. And personally, I just don't think it looks as nice.
Okay.
As the outgoing model. But they made a lot of great changes. And there's the hybrid powertrain available as well.
Well, it's very subjective, I guess, right?
Yeah, oh, totally.
Styling.
If you like one of these, go get it. You won't be disappointed at all.
I appreciate this. I'm on the other side of this because it looks large and in charge. It's just like, it reminds me of a giant heavy-duty truck.
Yeah.
I know it's not a heavy-duty truck, but it reminds me of
it's
that,
got
you know?
It's got that little bit of that flavor.
Yeah, it's got this size. And look at this. This is their X-Pro Off-Road Edition with a really beefy tire. So I really appreciate that.
Mm-hmm.
It's also locked. What is the deal with this?
I don't know.
I guess they're afraid that...
I'm just looking, is there another one somewhere that we can show you the interior? Because it's really nice, very well done.
Yeah.
And I would be shocked if they didn't have one. Because, again, this is one of their top-selling models.
Exactly. So we might be able to sneak up here if we're very nice, if we ask appropriately.
Ask nicely.
Yes. Could we show on camera the interior really quickly here?
Yeah. Just watch your step when you're going up on the bucket.
Ian, would you mind stepping up? We're getting onto the stage with a Kia Telluride. Oh, thank you, Craig.
This is a hissing sound, like a science fiction movie. But there you go. That's the interior.
Yeah.
Nice chunky grab handles on the center console. Beautifully laid out dashboard. There's two big screens.
Yeah.
But nicely integrated, I think.
And the center console looks functional yet stylish and new, right?
100%.
It's not a copy of something else, you know what I'm saying?
No.
So.
And one other thing I noticed, if you look at the interior door handles, these are just like Ford did on the Mach-E, but actually a little bit nicer because the lever here is quite a bit larger. So you've got a little bit more to grip when you go to open the door. But I thought that was an interesting touch because I don't recall seeing any other door handles like that.
Not recently, at least.
Yeah,
not recently.
I can't recall any. So there might be some out there, but they've left my brain.
I would have to dig deep in my brain.
Tommy would know.
Tommy
I was
would
just
know.
Gonna say. He's got the photographic memory.
Yeah,
right?
We could call Tommy. I think he's actually at the Kia event right now. Driving the K4 hatchback.
We'll call him right now, get him on the line.
He's with the experts.
They would know too.
Yes. Anyways, I think I appreciate it. Also, the back of the new Telluride, it looks a little bit more premium.
Oh,
it almost,
definitely.
Almost reminds me of a Range Rover.
Absolutely.
Do you see that?
In fact, that's what I was on the event with you out in California, their design studio.
Yeah.
You might have been on a different session that day.
Of it.
But very Range Rover-like for the taillight design and the rear of this vehicle, which they didn't necessarily copy the Range Rover, but I'll tell you, there are way worse vehicles to resemble than the new Range Rover, which is stunning.
Yeah, because that's a very premium vehicle, and it's very nice.
But yeah, the back end is super clean, attractive, and they knocked it out of the park with the interior, which is no surprise.
So part of the show floor, let's just walk this way. Be very careful stepping off the stage
so I
don't fall
in
my
face.
Can
I sue if I hurt myself? No.
You might be okay. There's a lot of driving areas here at the show, so you can go for rides in any of the new vehicles, right?
Uh-huh.
So there is at least
two
of those. And also there's off-roading with Ford and Jeep, where you can, in a Bronco or a Wrangler, you can go up and down.
Do they get along? Are they playing nicely together,
well,
Ford and Jeep?
Well, they're next to each other.
Yeah, I mean, there's gotta be some.
Yeah, well, actually at the show last night when they're unveiling a new Bronco RTR, they said something. They took a couple of jabs at Jeep. They said Ford has the most 4x4 registrations in the country.
Interesting.
So they pulled some data.
So does that include like F-150s or something?
Probably.
Is there 4x4?
Probably.
They're kind of like, that's a number. That is a real number, I'm sure, but it's also like, how did you bend the figures to fit?
Well, I'm sure some data and analyst did that.
Yeah.
And they also said that Bronco had more consumer sales than the Wrangler. Not including
fleet sales.
So they had a couple jabs that they were coming in with.
Well, the Bronco's been around as a nameplate for decades, but Ford was out of that market for a long time,
and
they're
Jeep,
kind of a challenger brand
Jeep's
to the
Wrangler.
And
Jeep's been around longer, too.
Yeah.
I want to show you one of my dream cars.
Okay.
Can I do that?
No, I'm not going to allow it. Just kidding. What do you got? What's caught your eye?
A 55.
Tri-5 Chevy. Very nice.
But specifically, this is a 55, isn't it?
I believe.
By judging by the rear tail.
You should know if it's your dream car on.
I think it is.
Let's see.
So the Tri-5 Chevy.
Let's see if they say. Yes, it is. And it's got a modern engine. LT4, the supercharged
V8. Oh my God.
That is a death wish in a car.
Oh my God. So I stand by what I said.
Uh-huh.
This engine in this car with this chassis slightly lowered in red and black.
It looks
fantastic. TFL colors, by the way. This could be my dream car. And there's a Segway here.
Okay.
I'm going to try to make a Segway.
Okay.
We were just in the Kia booth. So why the Tri-5 Chevy is called Tri-5?
Because it's 55, 6, and 7.
But they were a little different each year,
A little bit different, yeah.
Kia makes a lot of style changes on their cars.
Sure.
And that's how I bring it around.
So they might have a refresh and a new model, and that could be the Tri 2025
Telluride, right? Yes. That's where I'm going.
Yeah.
So
that's back in the day when every model year they had to I don't know if they had to, but they did make substantial changes
because
just to try to outdo each other.
Super competitive, right?
Exactly.
Just super, super competitive.
So, but 55 was the first year, if memory serves, for the small block Chevy. Ford had a V8 with the flathead since 32. They were the first mass-produced
V8
engine.
Isn't that what you have?
That's what I have in my car,
nice.
My 36 Ford.
Yes.
Then Ford came out with their Y block in 54, so they beat Chevy by a year. But
then
the
Chevy
small block
came in.
Chevy was much better.
Yeah.
Was a way better. And then they kept it in production for decades, and the Y block was done much, much, much sooner. It had some oiling issues and other problems. But small block Chevy, legendary engine.
I think I saw a spec last year or some information that GM sold over 100 million V8 engenes.
Oh, I wouldn't doubt
it. Or some insane number.
Yeah.
I mean, they've sold a lot of similar engines to that.
Mm-hmm. But the funny thing is, too, they have the small block and the big block Chevy and a whole bunch of variations of those. But then each division at GM had very similar engines. So you had the big block Chevy was commonly a 454, but there was like a 455 Oldsmobile, I think, and like a Pontiac of nearly the same displays. But they're totally different engine families, so none of the parts swap over.
No
they just
way.
Happen to be almost identical in displacement, which I always thought was kind of funny. But at the time, those GM divisions were functionally like different automakers. They were under the same tent, but they kind of had their own autonomy.
So I would say they weren't taking advantage of the synergies.
Correct.
I'm sorry. I'll stop using those words.
No, that's fine. In this case, it's the perfect word.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So if you're into a little bit of a classic restomod scene, there's also an exotic car section here at the show, which is a little bit behind, kind of similar to that over there by that stage. But you and I are not necessarily Ferrari experts, right?
I know next to nothing. And the same for me with racing. I've never gotten into racing, so I don't know anything about the series or the cars or the changes. It's just
or the people, or the drivers.
I like working on cars, fixing them.
Come on, Max Verstappen. You know Max.
I know
right?
that name.
Okay.
But that's about it.
All right. Lando Norris, no?
I don't know. Okay. Lando Calrissian from Star Wars, but not Lando Norris.
That's great. Okay, there's a big presentation happening, so we need to move away from.
What?
I think that was a six pack.
Maybe.
Charger. That was wild, dude.
That was louder than I expected, because we're not close to that thing. It's way over there.
So let's walk into the Cadillac booth for just a second.
Okay.
Because they're unveiling a Formula One car, something you know a lot about.
Oh, yeah, I sure do. Right across from the Lincoln display.
Yes.
Very warm and glowing with the sort of gold color.
So the Navigator is refreshed, what, like a year ago?
Yes.
So I think it's quite stylish, but it's mostly a truck because it's got kind of a frame underneath.
Yep.
But I think the Nautilus is also newish.
New in the last couple of years. Yeah. They got a hybrid and a standard gas engine in that. And I drove one maybe 6 or 8 months ago. Very impressed. The interior's super nice.
It was nice.
It wasn't great to drive. I thought the chassis could use maybe 20% more tuning work, but it was a very nice vehicle.
Wait a minute. We have to stop here for a second because this car looks very attractive.
Yes.
Is this the Blackwing by chance?
CT5V Blackwing.
Woo!
Yeah. So.
But I think it's going away for a little while.
Maybe.
I hope not. Because this is a spicy car and it looks amazing, I think.
It does.
Looks amazing.
I love the color. This is sort of a light bluish gray. What do they call it? Drift metallic.
Drift. Because you could drift this car.
I would hope so.
Oh. Anyways.
But, this one says, hold on. Standard features, but that must just be, I'm looking at the V.
Blackwing.
The V, because the Blackwing has the supercharged 6.2.
Yeah.
Because the first thing I saw was here, was 3 liter.
No, don't look at that. Don't look at that.
We don't want that.
No, we want this, which is what this car is. 668 horsepower, supercharged V8. This is proper.
Yeah, because they flip, these should be flipped to match.
Yeah, anyway.
Whatever.
You know what? I changed my mind. That 55 Chevy was not my dream car. I think this might be.
And look, what other large luxury sedan anymore offers that? Right there.
Ian, get in there. Those hooligans at Dodge, I swear.
Manual gearbox. That alone is
the
reason.
In a luxury sedan?
Yep.
Actually, would you excuse me? I need to sit in this car.
Please. It's your show, sir. I can't give you permission.
Oh, wait. Somebody moved the seat all the way up.
He's a very tall man, folks, if you didn't know. Andre the Giant.
That's what they call me.
Alcantara on the wheel, it looks like.
Look at my three pedals. Look at this.
Wow.
Look at
this.
But
you only have 2 feet. How are you ever going to drive it?
I don't care. No. No. Oh, Craig, have you driven this car?
I have not, but that's probably a Tremec TR6060, I'm guessing.
It feels good.
Very stout gearbox.
Very stout, but also short throw. I think, what is this, 100K?
Easily.
$100,000.
Starts at 101, 625.
Only.
Undoubtedly without delivery.
Really only 101. Yeah. Craig.
If we're going to start a GoFundMe for Andre, he can go and buy one of these cars.
Craig, you have to take a quick seat.
I'll sit around.
Quick look-see.
Oh.
Move your seat a little.
There we go. Oh, yeah, that feels fantastic.
Is that good?
So
just imagine, you have 668 horsepower at your disposal.
You are going to be flying. And that clutch is quite heavy. Not surprising for the amount of torque it's handling.
Yeah.
But what matters more than the weight is the engagement window, right?
You don't look, red seatbelt. Sorry, I interrupted you.
No, that's totally fine. What matters more than the weight, I think, is how broad that engagement window is. So when you go to shift gears, you can do it smoothly. Because the last thing you want is a clutch that's like a light switch. You're going to be...
And then you're going to burning the rear rubber quite often.
And I bet these Michelins are not cheap.
No.
Like but, me, I'm cheap.
So there's something else happening here. Because the big three automakers are really entering the world of F1. Ford is supplying powertrains to Red Bull Racing with Ford Racing, and Cadillac Formula One team is here. So this is their latest livery. So they're basically unveiling kind of their test look of the test car. And I have to admit, I'm also not an expert in F1, but I've watched enough Netflix and I've followed it, Formula One, since you know, my early childhood. So. It's cool, nonetheless, you know?
It is. It looks like a spaceship. It's that's really all the aerodynamic add-ons, the suspension components, the safety equipment. Very cool stuff.
Very neat. All right, let's keep moving. Maybe we can even end up at
the
Bronco.
V-Series, yeah.
Oh, another supercharged SUV.
Yeah.
This is
They're getting their mileage out of that 6.2 V8.
They should.
I mean... Have they fixed the issue, though? Because they did have that problem that they were recalling it for,
I think the jury is still out, as far as I'm concerned, because they did have a recall.
Yeah.
I don't know if a recall or a service bulletin. I mean,
they had some problems.
But
which is unfortunate. It's so sad.
But they're selling more of those truck engines than ever before.
Really?
I'm not trying to make any excuses or anything like that.
Totally.
But I think, obviously... I want them to be successful, but do it with quality, right? Don't jeopardize quality, I would say.
And speaking of quality, that's, for me, a big issue in the industry. Like, Toyota and Honda are always known for quality, but I feel even they have maybe slipped
in recent
years.
But they're not immune from problems.
No. I mean, nobody is and nobody ever has been.
Yeah.
But I feel there's such relentless competition. And particularly with like the American companies, they're always worried about the next financial quarter and providing like a higher stock price or a bigger dividend to the investors, which is fine. I totally get that. But it often comes at the expense of testing and component quality, I feel.
Yeah, I see that with some of the Tundra. Now I'm entering my truck world, right?
Sure.
Toyota Tundra engine recall. Tacoma has had several recalls. Honda. Has a couple of recalls with powertrain in certain elements of it. So we see that a lot now with every manufacturer.
With those are a lot of powertrain issues you've mentioned. They're using smaller engines and expecting more out of them. So you have a big block 460 Ford back in the 60s or 70s or whatever. I mean, that's a pretty mechanically simple engine. It's cast iron everywhere.
It's heavy, it's big, right?
There's a lot of margin, right? So. There's a lot of extra wiggle room for
Let's walk by the Bronco display, and I want to go to Jeep after that, okay?
Sounds good. But you have a downsized...
Hey guys. Sorry about that.
A downsized turbocharged engine. It's running a lot hotter, it's doing a lot more work, and it's not surprising you might have more problems.
Well, yes, but also I keep hearing, because I interview a lot of engineers, too, at all these events that you and I often visit, and they pride themselves on using the toughest alloys and the best materials and designing everything in computer simulations and running millions of test cases, right? They pride themselves on all this stuff. But I think the devil is still there. The devil is in the details still. So
I mean, there's only so much testing and validation you can do virtually. And you can't really simulate like 10 or 15 years of like real world
use in a
few months. Yeah, I know they try.
Yeah.
And I'm sure they do a pretty damn good job, but still, like, 15 years is 15 years. You can't just do that in a month.
Like, I was at GM Proving Grounds in Milford, and they were showing us some of their testing facilities, hardware in the loop, which I liked because they're using, like, steering components and braking system components that are actually production parts. on these test benches and running a lot of simulations through every component.
Mm-hmm.
So that makes a lot of sense to me, where you can run a lot of braking applications and steering applications, mm-hmm. you know, and test all of those things, which,
yeah.
which...
And you've got to.
You've got to.
Yeah. Just how long do you test it for is the question, too. But so, you wanted to see the Bronco?
And also the Mustang.
Yes.
So we have a couple of Mustangs here at the Ford booth, which is also giant. We have an RTR Mustang, and Ford is doing this thing where RTR is an aftermarket company,
mm-hmm.
and now you'll be able to buy certain models from the factory with
yes.
RTR parts.
Yep.
So that's really neat, I think.
Absolutely. You get additional style, maybe some extra performance with
yeah.
factory build quality and a warranty too.
Exactly. And I was talking to some of the folks from RTR yesterday, and they were talking about, because Von Gittin Jr. Yep. is behind the company and the brand, right?
Yep, yep.
And he's known for precision drifting, racing, and off-road racing. And, you know, he can dial in, you know, they're talking about bushings and yeah. spring rates and shocks.
Yeah.
You know, they're very precise.
We would never know the difference. Practically.
Yeah, I'm like, is that bushing really new or
yeah.
is it old?
Oh, I can tell just on the steering wheel.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
Yeah.
Sorry, bud, I can't.
So then the Broncos, they have several here. Oh, there's another one.
There's a Bronco
I mean,
over there.
There's a racing version.
Oh,
this
yeah.
is a Bronco R, I think they call it, which is, I believe this is a mid-engine one. This is bonkers one.
Yeah.
But for mere, what, $300,000, you could be a customer, a racing customer,
uh-huh.
and you could buy one.
Only $300,000. Gosh, makes the CT5V Blackwing sound like a steal.
That's a base price, because there's also the mechanics you have to hire and the
extra
trailer.
Extra tires, you need the trailer.
Extra tires.
Oh, man.
Oh, this is cool, a two-door.
What have we got? Yeah, you don't see those. Does it have the manual?
Let's see.
Let's see. What are your
it
guesses,
may not,
folks?
But
do we have the manual or not?
No. This
wah,
is,
wah.
But they do offer that still.
Good for them. That's the way I would get it.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's getting rarer and rarer.
Yeah.
I was just doing a truck podcast with Sam Abel-Samed.
Oh, yeah. He's fantastic.
You know Sam, right?
Oh, absolutely. He's
and,
great.
And we were talking about that Tacoma is now the last pickup truck
yeah.
with a manual transmission.
It's so sad.
Right?
I get it. The automatics are, everybody buys them. And they're more efficient, they shift faster, they give you better performance. But I don't care, I still want a manual. How awesome would it be to get the regular cab, short bed, four-wheel drive F-150, Coyote V8,
yeah.
with a manual?
I think you and I would love that.
That'd be
but I think you and I are the only people who would love it.
Maybe, but okay. I know it costs way more to like validate that vehicle for like quality and efficiency. Well,
everything,
and everything
we just talked about.
Yes. Just charge the customer more. If I want a manual, okay, maybe it's $5,000 more. But how cool would that be?
It would be neat.
Be amazing.
Yeah, Case on our team would have really appreciated it, because he has a single cab Dodge
yeah.
truck with a manual transmission.
Nice. What engine does he have?
Cummins.
Cummins.
That's
of course,
the only
it's
way.
The Cummins.
It's the only
way. I thought
way
you were going to say like slant six or 318 from the what is it? The old D series.
We're fans of straight six engines.
Oh, yeah.
You're probably also, right?
They're very smooth. Many of them have a very good reputation for reliability. The slant six is legendary. The Chevy version is legendary, or the Chevy straight six. And the Ford 300.
Straight six.
Just bulletproof engine.
It was a dump truck engine.
Literally.
Can you believe that? Yes. This is kind of cool, though. Bronco Sport, which is a smaller Bronco.
Yep.
Badlands Sasquatch with steel bumpers and a push bar right there.
What do you think of this, Andre? Are people going to use this?
It
or
looks
is
at,
this just for show?
So we're looking at the front brush guard,
yeah.
Kind of a bull bar on this. I think it's removable on purpose.
Mm-hmm.
So you have four bolts in the front.
So when you tap the other vehicle or
no.
the garage wall when you're parking and it smashes the grill, when it bends, you can take it off easily. I'm being facetious.
I know. No, I don't know. The stylistically,
it looks nice. I like it.
But it covers the Broncos sign.
It does.
The name. So,
it does.
But I appreciate that they have, like, they baked in a lot of off-road capability into a mm-hmm. small vehicle.
Yes.
And it is not super cheap. I mean, it's $45,000 for this particular version.
But what's the average transaction price? 50? It was north of 50 a few months ago.
$50,000. For any car,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Yes.
So we're still we're beneath that here.
But you're getting the highest level of a Bronco Sport capability for that price.
Yes,
so
sir.
That's pretty neat. Speaking of small off-roady vehicles,
I think I see what you're thinking.
But there's also this. Where do you want to start? Do you want to start the Cherokee? Let's start do the Cherokee.
We'll swing to the left there.
Cherokee is an iconic name. Come on, man.
It is.
Yes. And
100%.
It's coming back. And you know what I can't believe?
What?
I can't believe it went away.
Yeah, when they got rid of it, like kind of initially, they brought the Liberty out, which had these round, smiley-looking headlights.
So they tried that.
Yeah.
And then again, recently, 2 years ago, it was discontinued. In the most popular segment in the country, right, which is a compact crossover.
Yep.
I'm glad it's back.
Well, if the segment is huge, there are probably dozens of vehicles playing in that segment.
Well, the RAV4.
And to not have a product.
RAV4 is
insane.
Now the best-selling car in the country.
Top in the F-150.
Yes.
Yeah.
Ford doesn't want you to say that, but it's
I'm
true.
I'm sorry, I'll be quiet. It beat the F-150.
It's true. We looked at the numbers.
Yeah. Which Ford doesn't break them out.
No, they don't.
So are you going to like analysts to get their data?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Like for example, Sam has some information around this. Because you could buy that data because it's registration based data. So you can actually kind of look at that. But RAV4, yes. But now they're coming back with traditional powertrains and a hybrid as well.
Yep. Do you prefer this or the Bronco Sport?
Well, I haven't driven the new Cherokee.
Yeah.
So I drove the new Bronco Sport. You know what I am not...
This looks bigger than the Bronco Sport.
Yes,
bit.
It does.
Yeah.
You know what I'm not crazy about is the ground clearance doesn't look tremendously big.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Well, yeah,
this is not a very high off-the-ground vehicle.
And maybe they're going to offer like the equivalent of a Sasquatch package or something that's a bit more for customers that will go off-road.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's a handsome vehicle. The interior looks great.
And it's spacious too.
Yeah.
Let me jump in here on this side.
He's doing the TFL patent pending seat test.
Seat test.
If Andre fits, he sits.
I do fit and I do sit.
He's just tired of standing, folks.
Oh, I think I walked 15,000 steps already. You know what? I'm glad it's back. People might say, there's too much technology in here, but I think every vehicle...
You're not getting away from that.
...is becoming this way, right?
Yeah.
So I'm really super psyched. It's an iconic name. It's an iconic vehicle. And now there's a new iteration of this vehicle.
Mm-hmm.
And it should be successful, I think.
Oh,
I think
everybody loves Jeep. It's a well-known nameplate. It looks like a good product.
Almost. I would wager it could be a home run.
We'll
know next year. When I see you here next year,
yes.
we'll check the numbers and we'll see exactly how the Cherokee is doing.
I look forward to it.
But what do you think about this?
This is an enigma.
Okay. We're talking about the Recon all-electric off-roader.
Because it's expensive and it's got decent range. It's
but not great,
great
range.
It's I got it jotted down because again,
okay,
memory.
230 miles maximum, right?
Something I 250 I think was in the press release, but
okay.
Maybe they've had an update.
Well, there are
a couple
of models.
Yeah,
I think one is 230 and one is 250.
Yeah, yeah. 650 horsepower, 620
what?
Pounds of torque.
Wait, this has as much horsepower as a Blackwing almost?
I believe so. That's what
yes.
I jotted down.
Yes, no, you're not wrong.
Yeah, I mean, yes, to your point. 0 to 63.6 seconds. But do the hardcore off-road Jeep enthusiasts? What?
No.
You're laughing at me. What did I do?
No, I'm laughing at your question.
Because
you were going to say, do they care about 0 to 60 times? Is that what you're
I was going to say, do they want an EV even for off-roading and trail crawling?
Well, I would wager they might,
mm-hmm.
because we off-roaded a plug-in hybrid Wrangler, which is now discontinued, by the way.
Yeah, very recently discontinued.
But we've off-roaded a Wrangler plug-in hybrid 4xe on electricity alone, and the experience of being quiet and hearing the sand underneath the tires.
It's fantastic.
And the rocks and being part of the environment is fantastic. You can remove doors on this puppy, this Recon. And the glass comes out and the roof retracts. But do they care about 0 to 60 times?
I mean, that's a fun novelty a few times, and then you're like, okay, the car's quick, great. I'm not using that every day on my commute to work. But I'm going to make air quotes here, only, let's say, 250 miles of range. That's still going to get you damn far out on the trail, because I imagine a vehicle like this, if you're climbing hills, going up and down mountains, you're going to be very efficient because you're not at high speed where there's a lot of wind resistance that's going to eat into that efficiency, right?
Yeah.
So maybe on a trail, that number is going to be even greater.
I would be a tiny bit nervous because I've off-roaded in, I'm from the West.
Mm-hmm.
Did you know that?
The West?
Well, the Colorado plains and
yes,
mountains.
Yes, you're from America's heartland.
If you say so. But distances are vast.
Yes.
Over there. And when you're in the middle of Moab and you've been off-roading for like 4 hours,
mm-hmm.
and
you got to get back to the camp
and you got to get back to the camp and then you're looking for a charger.
Yeah.
That might be a little bit questionable. So I don't think this vehicle is for that, but I just wish it was more affordable. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
$67,000 to start. That's including destination.
Yeah.
That's 65 without destination.
Yeah, I think that's without.
So, dude, I was so psyched about this Moab edition of this Recon,
mm-hmm.
but then I saw the $67,000 price tag.
And you had to sit down and get a glass of water because...
I had to do a breathing exercise.
Yes.
So, you know what I'm saying? So,
yeah.
So, I know there'll be more affordable versions of this coming, but I think if they threw in... Maybe in a couple of years they can change the battery chemistry, improve that, and just make it better and more affordable.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it'll be super exciting.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's a handsome vehicle too. I wouldn't personally take the doors off, but that's just me.
Really? Maybe if
I'm on the trail or something. But I see a lot of folks driving their Wranglers in the summer just on the streets with the doors off. And I wouldn't do that myself.
But would you try it? Tried it?
No, but I'm one that I don't care for convertibles or like even sunroofs.
No.
I don't like them. The glare bothers my eyes.
Craig.
So. I'm sorry.
I liked you a lot more just a couple minutes ago.
Are you a convertible fan?
Yeah.
I'm sorry. It's okay. You can be wrong. That's fine. No, I just have never cared for drop tops. Personally.
I know that structural rigidity can be compromised when you take your top down in your car or a SUV for that matter. But let's walk around this way.
What's next on your list?
But no, I want to hit this point home.
Okay.
You should try being in a Wrangler with no doors,
mm-hmm.
because you're kind of like inviting the environment. I don't care which environment. You could be inviting the Woodward Avenue inside, or inviting a trail, off-road trail.
But now, doing it off-road, properly off-roading, that would be probably pretty sweet. But I see a lot of folks driving around, like commuting to work with the doors off, and I'm just like, I don't know. I don't want to bother with that.
You're also more lightweight without your doors.
This is true.
And then you could be faster and more efficient while doing. Actually, aerodynamics might be a problem.
Yeah.
But you could be. Look, they took the doors off the Gladiator, too. So, it's pretty cool.
You guys did a big comparison test with the mid-sized trucks a while back.
We did.
I'm trying to remember. I think the Ranger was the quickest.
You know, the Ranger, especially with their EcoBoost, especially the 3.0 Raptor, that's a bonkers powertrain for that. This is still the Pentastar.
Yeah, it's adequate, but there are faster offerings. What really impressed me, though, you guys did a test with the Ram RHO with the high output 3-liter Hurricane straight six.
Yes.
And then, like, there was a Raptor F-150 and then a Raptor R.
Yeah.
The Ram handily outran
the Raptor.
The standard Raptor, which I was very surprised by because I expected the Ford to be a little bit quicker based on the numbers and like the weight and everything. But the Ram was like, boom, gone.
Well, because the Ford is aluminum body.
Yeah.
It's a little bit lighter and then the RHO is not. But the RHO does have the power advantage in that equation. So That was interesting. You know what I wonder? I wonder if what Ford answer they've seen. Shoot, let's go
Ram.
To trucks.
Yeah.
I don't care.
I've piqued his interest now. You want to go to the Ram, the reborn TRX, right?
Yeah, because TRX has
777.
777.
It's like a Boeing.
Let's not bring Boeing into this. No. I'm trying to joke or kid around. No, what I'm saying is the Raptor R, 720 horsepower.
Uh-huh.
The new TRX, 777. The new RHO, 540 horsepower.
Yeah.
The regular Raptor, 450 horsepower. Uh-huh. So what is Ford's answer to this?
It's a good
You know
question.
What I'm saying?
All they have to do is put a smaller supercharger pulley on it, probably, right?
And turn it up, and there you go.
A little more boost. How much power do you want? Because you can get, people, don't they get like 1,000 horsepower from Coyote, the 5-liter Coyote?
You can
with pretty much stock internals?
Yeah.
Maybe upgrade the oil.
I wonder if warranty will suffer when you do something like that.
Oh, definitely.
So they may have to do something extra.
Yeah.
But the new TRX is here. I actually did an interview with Tim Kuniskis, believe it or not.
He's a very animated executive.
Can you believe they let me interview a CEO?
Of course I can. You're one of the most respected truck journalists in the business.
Thank you.
And I'm not just saying that to be nice. It's the truth.
Thank you.
Yes. So yes, of course you could interview Tim.
By the way, if you don't care about off-roading, they have a street truck over here.
The 650 Hemi.
Truck.
What is this? I'm not familiar with this.
Oh,
tell
dude,
me more.
Dude, it's all about this number. It's this horsepower.
Herspers.
A 650 horsepower. This is a Whipple supercharged that you could do at the dealership. So not at the factory.
Yeah. So it's
but
a,
at the
an
dealership.
Option at the dealer with the Hemi, I'm sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
There it is.
Yeah. And it does have an e-torque system.
Supercharged. And they kept the e-torque. Like, why would... Well, it's so integrated into the rest of the powertrain. I know it handles transmission shifting and stuff.
And it also does, it's a starter motor.
So
it's also, so you see,
the alternator and the starter.
It's almost interwoven into the engine in such a way. And actually, Sam explained this to me because this made no sense to me.
Uh-huh.
Because he said, Andre, this is less complicated. I'm like, what? Because
no starter,
to undo this, you have to go back to the other system, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that's why it's less complicated.
Yep. Look at that, a 4.25-inch pulley. You want to go faster, put a different one on
there. We're looking underneath a hood of this Ram 1500 650 Hemi. This is the pulley size. So it just basically matters how fast the supercharger blades are spinning versus the engine speed, right?
Yep.
So that's kind of...
And I'm sure there's a lot of tuning work and optimization. You can't just throw a smaller pulley on and expect to get more. You've got to make sure there's enough fuel to go with the air or things are going to go kaboom, and that's bad.
But look, it's lowered. It's got a chin spoiler.
It looks great.
It's pretty nice.
They make a damn fine truck. It's hard to pick the best full-size truck, right?
Now let's bring it back because I'm kind of going off the rails here.
Well, that's your little treat for yourself. You're the truck guy.
Yes.
So. We had to work that in a little bit.
Let's bring it back into the car world as we close. By the way, we almost walked everything.
Mm-hmm.
Almost every square inch. We didn't go into the off-road area. There's a little bit of trucky off-road area.
Well, if folks want real off-road, they're going to just go to the channel and watch your full reviews and comparisons,
that's
right?
The only way to do it.
Yeah.
No, actually, if you're in the Detroit area, I think it's probably still worth coming, would you say?
To the show here?
This show is not anywhere as big or as news-laden as it was.
No, definitely not. Absolutely, it's a shadow of its former self, but for many complicated reasons for that. But yeah, if you're a consumer and you're shopping for a new vehicle, of course, come on down to, I always want to call it Cobo Hall, but it's Huntington Place now.
Yeah.
And you can sit in the vehicles, you can look at them, you can poke around and get an idea of what you might want for your next car without like a salesperson there.
Well, a person like maybe my parents, right? My parents are retired now recently, and they're looking at different SUVs to travel the country and, you know, kind of see places. This would be a perfect place for them to come and sample different vehicles without the sales pressure.
Correct.
You know, there's nobody buy now.
And you can't look at the Dodge Charger here.
Yeah.
And then immediately walk two booths over and look at the Bronco Sport or something. You can't generally do that at dealerships. Yes, there are dealer groups, and some of them are like next to each other, but it's super easy. I wanted to see this, wander over there, check out a Bronco, check out an F-150 or a Camry or whatever. It's all in one place.
Or I want to go for a ride in the Bronco on some bumpy terrain. You could do that as well, right there.
Yeah. Where's the iron shocker they have at the Mercedes display?
Only for G-Wagons.
Only for G-Wagons,
only for
correct.
G-Wagons. But I want to finish with this blue SUV here.
All right.
Because I've had some experience with this recently.
I
went to Vegas.
Okay.
Which is one of my favorite places, actually.
Was this for CES?
No. No. I missed CES because there was not a lot of automotive news at CES, let's face it.
There was a lot of, like, supplier stuff, and you got to talk to, we've developed a new chip that controls suspension dampers or something. It's important, but it's like, how do you translate that to consumer?
Exactly.
Consumer
it's hard to imagine
exactly.
a vehicle around it. But no, in December, Dodge had a program in Vegas because there was also the last race of the year for the NHRA drag racing series.
Okay.
And they had us drive this, the jailbreak edition of the Dodge Durango Hellcat. You know, they have the coolest names at Stellantis, don't they?
Yeah. They're very good. Stellantis
marketing.
Is very good at marketing. Also, when they don't have the freshest product, which the Durango is a very old vehicle, but they're very, very good at keeping things updated without making big substantive changes, right?
So did you know that if you went to the configurator on the jailbreak edition of the Durango, there are 7 million combinations of what you could choose.
So you may have a one-of-a-kind build combo. Then.
Yeah, and if you order a paint to sample, they kind of have a program where you can tell them a custom color.
Uh-huh.
You could have one of one.
Yeah.
Potentially.
That's crazy. And that's very uncommon for a mass market vehicle like this. You get Porsche offers a paint to sample or Rolls Royce. You can match whatever color you want. But for a Dodge, that's very unheard of. For
and a couple of things are like exterior colors, brake caliper colors.
Yeah.
There's also interior colors. They have like five different seat belt color options.
Yeah.
And also just small things, right? Small things. But this SUV platform is 15 years old. Can you believe that?
It's old, but they've kept it. They've done a good job of keeping it fresh.
Yeah.
Without completely redesigning it.
And you know what does not get old?
What?
The sound of a supercharged Hemi going down outside of Vegas and just
into the desert,
legally hauling some butt.
Legally. Respect the speed
limit. We never promote anything dangerous or illegal.
I would hope not.
On this
is a family channel.
Yes, this is a family show.
But so, what is the output of the jailbreak edition? I don't remember.
It's the same.
Okay.
It's 710 horsepower.
Okay. I mean,
so you would think
at
that
that
would,
point,
well, it's
you've
not
got
triple
plenty.
Sevens, but
it's enough.
It's just
you've
enough.
Got enough.
It does weigh 6,000 pounds. This thing, but it's motivated by that power in a proper way.
Uh-huh.
I would say, so it's pretty good.
Oh,
so
undoubtedly.
I think we've reached almost the end of this show because we have Alfa Romeo. I mean, every brand of Stellantis is here, so you can basically visit all of them.
All in one corner of, I keep wanting to call it Cobo, but it's Huntington Place.
I think you could call it wherever you want. you've lived here long
I've
enough.
I've earned the right.
You've earned your right to call it wherever you want. So,
yeah.
Well, I really appreciate your...
A pleasure. Thank you.
Do you have any taste of what's coming up at Auto Esoterica here?
So what
do you
we
have
cover,
a little taste for us?
We've got some features we did with Jim Hall, if you guys know Jim Hall. Do you know Bob Hall? Bob Hall is considered the father of the Miata. He doesn't like that title because he's very magnanimous. He was part of a team, and
No,
we developed the Miata. It wasn't just me.
That's very proper. That's a proper thing to say.
It's a very polite thing to say. So... Jim is Bob Hall's twin brother, and we're very fortunate enough to work with Jim because he's local in the Detroit area. So we've got he's so smart, super smart, great analysis for all sorts of topics. So we've got a number of videos in the hopper with him. We also do some design-focused features because we work with a former car designer. He's now a professor at the College for Creative Studies in Detroit. His name is Jason White. Great stuff with him. And then we focus on classic cars as well. So because I've got my 36 Ford.
Do you do kind of a series with that, or because you've done several videos with your Ford, right?
Yes.
Those are my favorite.
Oh, they're...
But also, Well, actually, a lot of your videos are my favorite. But you've never taken me on a ride in your Ford.
Well, the next time you're in Detroit in the summertime, if you're here for Woodward or whatever, let me know. You can drive it.
You know, one of the issues I have...
I took Roman for a ride once, and this is maybe 8 years ago.
I missed it.
Yeah.
You know, I've been to Woodward only once in my life, the Woodward Dream Cruise I'm talking about, because the timing of it
is Pebble.
Just... I don't care about Pebble as much. I don't belong there. But, you know, with the school starting and the kids and the time of year. Late summer. It just kind of, there's a lot going on there. And I've never kind of made it.
I would encourage you to take a couple vacation days. It's the third, like, Saturday in August. It's supposedly the largest single day car event in the world. And I forget how many million people show up and like 40,000 vehicles, but you bring a bag chair and a cooler, you sit yourself down on the sidewalk or in the median and you just watch the cars go by. You'll see everything.
And if you're not from here, Woodward Avenue, it goes, I don't know how many miles long it is.
It's about 20 miles.
It's insanely long street that crosses a bunch of towns. I mean,
yeah, it runs from downtown Detroit up to Pontiac. It actually loops around at Pontiac and comes back southeast. But it runs through like Royal Oak, there's Huntington Woods, Berkeley, Bloomfield Hills, Birmingham, a whole bunch of communities along there. And it's just, I think it was the very first mile of paved road in the country. I think that's what Woodward Avenue was. Don't quote me on that though.
And also, isn't quarter mile significant because of Woodward Avenue, or am I hallucinating?
That sounds familiar. I think I've heard that before.
Because I heard some, and please Google this, because I'm not certain. Because the distance between certain traffic lights was about a quarter of a mile, which is where the quarter mile supposed to come from. Yeah. So please verify that.
That sounds familiar, but I don't know either.
Okay. But I'm sure we will after this show.
Your audience will know. Somebody's going to leave a comment.
Somebody's going to call me dumb.
They're super
smart. Pretty sure. Well, Cole.
They wouldn't do
Craig,
that.
Craig, thank you very much.
Thank you. A pleasure as always.
Oh,
great to see you guys.
And
look at that.
On the Hellcat.
It's going to hell, folks. Quite literally.
with a Hellcat supercharger wine and burning.
It's a meow. It's a supercharger.
Meow. And the tire burning.
Yeah.
Very, very cool. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you next time.
Bye.